Beloved congregation, my text for this morning will be in the Gospel of Mark, 14th chapter, verse 46. And they laid their hands on him and took him. This far. Last Sunday, we have heard about the suffering of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. About the suffering of Christ in his soul. And that Christ also there in the Garden of Gethsemane struggled with death. Where he declared that his soul was exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Now, after that Christ had suffered all those things in the Garden of Gethsemane, he talked to his disciples that the time was there that they have to go. Christ was entirely persuaded and aware of what was coming. It was, of course, not done, the suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane, but it had to go on till that he died to satisfy the justice and the righteousness of God. Christ have to suffer and to drodden the winepress of God's wrath only. And time and again you can observe by the realization and by the considering of the suffering of Christ that it became for him more and more heavier. We will see that this morning when we will talk about the resting of Christ. And then in the first place you find there how treacherous the friendship was of Judas, how wrong that the friendship was of Peter, how superficial the friendship was of the people, and also how faithless that it was in regard to the disciples, and how thoughtless about that young boy that came out of his bed. But then finally we have to consider that true and that real friendship that Christ had showed there after that he had left the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas made everything straight in regarding to the betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ. However, his friendship, that means he would show to Christ that he was his friend, that was treacherous. If you think about the way in which that Judas had betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, then you must say to what a depth came men in the fall of Adam. Indeed, congregation, indeed, man is sunken deeper to a certain respect than the devil. We find that out in this morning to consider the attitude of that Judas. And we never, congregation, we never have any reason to place ourselves above that man. If he would do it, then it shall be a clear proof that we have no knowledge of self. There is no end in regard to the depth of our fall. That Judas, he betrayed the Lord with a kiss. And if you read in the Bible about a kiss, then it is mentioned there time and again as a token of peace. A token of unity, a token of love, and a token of reverence. When people bid farewell to one another in the Old Testament, then they kissed one another. You see that in Genesis 31 and in 1 Samuel 19. It happens also after a time that they have seen one another not in a long time. 1 Kings 19 verse 20. It happens also when two parties separated from one another for some time, that they came to a certain reconciliation, and then they did it too. 2 Samuel 14, Genesis 33 and Luke 15. And they kissed also one another when they in public would give to the people an evidence that their love towards one another, that it was real, that it was true. They kissed also one another in regard to religion when they agree with the same doctrine in Romans 16, 1 Corinthians 13, and 1 Peter 5. And now that Judas, he betrayed the Son of Man with a kiss. He had in the first place no idea, no thoughts that the Lord was all know. He would show to Christ that he had a great love towards him. And he hated Christ. He had sold him already for 30 pieces of silver. And still, he kissed Christ. No thoughts that Christ knows our heart and the secrets within. In the second place, that man that had no more idea of the justice and of the righteousness of God. Because the Lord, he could perplex that man, destroy that man by his almighty power immediately. We have an example in Ananias and Sapphira that they were lying against the Holy Ghost and they both fell down dead. This is worse what that Judas had done. The Son of God, who was from all eternity in the bosom of his Father, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But by nature, if the Lord leaves men over to himself, congregation, then we can do everything. Then there is nothing that keeps him back. Nothing. When men come to an extreme and that he is living out himself, no fear and no reverence. And then there was no something else, but I also have to explain to you this morning that Judas had seen so many miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, so many evidences of his almighty power. So many. And it is a question, really a question, whether that Judas have thought in the depth of his heart that Christ ever would die. You have ever thought about it? And if now that Christ, because they all have confessed him as a son of God, all of them did, even that it was outwardly with Judas, but still he had done it. And now that Judas, when he kissed the Son of Man, he thought, if now Christ showed his power towards those soldiers that came to bind him, then I can still stand at the side of Christ. And then the people can make up out of what I have done that I love that Christ. The greatest hypocrisy that there ever was seen in the world, that was revealed there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas kissed the Son of Man. And what a wonder that Christ, he had not some word for him. He mentioned, he called him as a friend. And Christ, he asked that Judas why that he was there. Why? If Christ had said hypocrite, if Christ had said enemy, if he had said to him murder, and oh much more, then you can realize it. You think only when there is a quarrel sometime between men and men, what can come out of our mouth. Bad words. That in other times, that it never came out of your mouth. But in such circumstances, oh, it is a blessing if that happens. And where shall it not happen? In the church we sit all quiet. Right? Then you would think that man that is on the pulpit and all the people that is sitting here, it seems out that they are angels. Is it so? Sometimes one word, and sometimes one thing that happens. There is so much disturbance inside. But now the meekness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the meekness of him, his forbearance, his patience. The Lord, he said in his word, in the epistle of Peter, when they revile him, he did not revile him back. He suffered. He gave it over in the hand of his Father. He accepted everything. He came not against it, no. And why? Because he had promised in eternity, in the council of peace, that he would fulfill the will of his Father. And now he bores the depth of our fall, people. He bared it. He suffered it. And as I say already this morning, to a certain extent, man is no less than a devil. Really. Really. Pharisees cannot believe that. Oh, no. I have always heard people that they say to me, then I asked them, they came in that time to the church here, that I asked them, you agree? Oh, they say to a certain extent, say somebody. To a certain extent, he made a statement. He said, when you talk about on the pulpit about what man is, he said, I do not agree, because he said, I am feeling not so. No. I cannot believe that is so bad. Really? Huh? But that is because there is no self-knowledge. There is no uncovering of the Holy Spirit in their heart and in their life. And if we come to that knowledge, people, but shall it then be a wonder? But shall it then be a miracle that the Son of God, in the bosom of his Father from all eternity, that he had given himself for such a people? Rutherford, he say, for the dirt of the society, for the dirt of the society, his life and his blood, I told you this morning already, when they took Christ and they bound him, there was a treacherous friendship of Judas. A superficial friendship of the people. Because years ago they go all behind them. They left them all alone. There was nobody that take it up for him. No. And even Peter, he took his sword and he cut off the ear of Malchus. And you know that man that loved Christ with all that was in him, there is no doubt about that. He had promised to give his life for Christ, to sacrifice himself for him. He was ready to fight for him, to protect him. But he had no insight in the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not at all. And Peter, he thought that he must help Christ. He thought that. But the Lord, he need no helpers. No. And he said, Peter, take your sword, telling you. All these will fight with the sword, they shall be killed and destroyed. And the kingdom of God and the gospel of Christ that must not go forth with a sword, no, but now with the Holy Spirit. And Peter, with all that love that he had in his heart, if he had received apprehender, then you can realize he brought the whole work of the Lord to naught. Christ must not be protected, no. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father had placed upon my hands? He was a willing Savior, as well as he was an able Savior. And he, in a state of his humiliation, he had given himself over with that purpose that he would satisfy the justice of his Father. And that he would deliver his people. It said here in the text, and they laid their hands on him and they took him. And you see there how willingly that Christ was to perform the labors for which the Father had called him. In the Gospel of John, there you read there that when Christ asked that band of soldiers whom they were looking for, then Christ gave one token of his almighty power, because all the people that fell back were on the ground. All of them. As a clear proof, when Christ had showed his power entirely, his almighty power, he could kill him with the breath of his mouth. But the people, soon after that, they all arose. They all were standing on their feet. All of them. As a clear proof, congregation, that there is nothing without the power of the Spirit that breaks us ever down. There can happen so much in our life because, congregation, the Lord, he make himself free from me and from you. That in the great day of judgment, that he have nothing to bring in, and that he shall stand there speechless, not alone to defend ourselves. For the second time in our own church, for the second time, a man in the prime of his life is buried already. Between one Sunday and the other, your boy came home. Another man came home from the hospital. But he was brought there and he came no more home alive. Came even not back in his home. And yesterday, we left that cemetery without him. Oh, what a thought, congregation. Yeah. And then really, For yourself. For yourself. That you must say if you have noch some thoughts. I mentioned that now to you. If you have noch some thoughts about death and eternity. Then you would say, Lord, please bind that is upon my heart. Lord, that it is make impression to me. Lord, that it is not passed by. Oh, that it brings me to a standstill. To a standstill. So many columns, and so many admonitions. In another family, a brother took his own life, buried yesterday in Sheboygan. And if you think about that, all people, oh, then your thoughts are multiplied, And what shall then be the answer in our life? If we have no some thoughts inside people, then he will say, Lord, oh, I am so hard. I am so hard. Break me is down. Break me is down. Congregation, how many amongst us in this week, when we have heard that, how many were underneath in the inner chamber? How many? And how many have asked the Lord, teach me to number my days, that I apply my heart unto wisdom? How many? We are busy with this and busy with something else. But vanity, all it is, tis all vanity. And then even when we are not religious, not still religious, and not coming under the right religion and the right truth, but what impression give it for our heart. Oh, people, if the Lord open our eyes for our state and condition, then we will say, I must well cry day and night, day and night. And no rest till that the Lord give us no rest. In the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have bound Christ, congregation. They laid their hands on him. Why? Why they did? Because I have laid my hands on the Lord. I laid my hands on the Lord in paradise. And I have declared in paradise, I will be the same as thee, as thou. I laid my hands on the Lord. And that is now the cause, congregation, that is now the reason that I lay in such a depth. In such a miserable state that to all eternity, that from the side of men is nothing to expect than the eternal wrath of God. They have bound Christ, yes, they have bound him. Because I make myself loose from the Lord. And I have bound myself to the devil. And I desire, congregation, that I couldn't, that I couldn't explain to you. That I could lay open the depth of it, the depth of it. Now, I am in the snares of the devil. And that devil that had nothing in his mind than my eternal destruction. To drag me to hell, that is all that he is doing. And I am so wretched that I cannot give myself any thought. I can myself give not one prayer in truth and uprightness. Not one prayer. And if you ask God's children, then what shall they say to you? They shall say, oh men, the older that I become, the more that I am realized the depth of my fall in Adam. I have times, let I say it in this manner, people, I have times that I want to cry, that I want to cry, and there are no tears. There are no tears, no. I will give myself impression, Lord, in what in depth that I have brought myself. But even that I lay a million doors at the table, I cannot buy it. And then, oh, God's people that experience it, God's people that experience it, not the world, and not the nominal Christians. Oh, the last ones, they laugh about that talk. Really, they laugh about that talk. On account that they have known all of it. But if it just happens sometime in our life, sometime in our life, that we receive an impression of it in our hearts. Philpott, he said, once a year. Or once in 5 years, he said. And that's the truth. That are no nice congregation. No. But that is all the truth what the divine people have told us. And if we have not some impression in our heart consciously about the truth, then we shall say, yes, yes, that is the truth. They lay hands upon that Christ. Oh, what a thought, people. And that they bound him. And that they soon would lead him as a lamb to the slaughter, that he shall be slain, that he shall be crucified, and that to the eternal deliverance, to the eternal deliverance of people, that by nature is not concerned about it, but that by the grace of God, that they may learn what? That they are in himself, nothing as an hypocrite. We sing the last stanza of 240. Friend and lover are departed, dark and lonely is my way. Lord, be thou my friend and helper, still to thee, O Lord, I pray. Lord, the God of my salvation, day and night I cry to thee, Let my prayer now find acceptance in thy mercy. Answer me. The last stanza of 240. Now, no few words, people. There was also at that time a young man, and that young man, of course, he would help the Lord Jesus Christ. They followed him, and certain young men having a linen cloth cast about his naked body, and the young man laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Who that boy was, there is no certainty about it in the Bible. There were some thoughts and ideas about who it was. Some they say it was Mark himself. But of course we have no ground for that. And when the Bible say nothing about it, then of course we have hope to say nothing. That's the best thing. The boy, it seems as you read it there in the Bible, the boy that was sleeping, but then midnight he heard that noise on the street. Because there was a great band there, elders and priests, chief priests and scribes, and they came with swords and with staffs to take Christ. And that boy that awoke, and then he took his night garment. He slipped that on his body. And then he goes so on the street. But that boy, that he was concerned about Christ himself, you cannot find that in the Bible. But of course, everything that those soldiers saw, also the acting of that boy, they thought maybe that boy that will help Christ. They followed him, they ran behind him, and they would grasp him, but then they took only his garment, his night garment. And then he fled away, that boy. We have no thoughts about that boy to congregation. No. We have no thoughts about it. Thoughtless. And then you see also, when we have nothing else than an outwardly confession, outwardly, then in the time of persecution we lose it. We need the garments of righteousness and the robe of righteousness inside as the covering of our soul. And what the Lord gave to his people, we cannot lose that. But what we have outwardly, it cannot help us. But of course now I come to the true and real friendship. The Lord Jesus Christ, the text that said it, they laid their hands on him and they took him. And what is now the meaning of it in regard to the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ? That friendship that there was in paradise between God and man, we have destroyed that. We by nature, we are all haters of God now. And we have even no desire for it, that the Lord give it back in our life. No. But now Christ, he merited the restoration of that broken fellowship and communion with the Lord. Therefore the text said, and they laid hands on him and took him. Because that guilt that there lays before the Lord, the sin of Adam imputed to everybody, those mountains must be taken away. Can I take it away? Can you take it away with your tears? With your confession? No. No. Judas, he shall soon cast the money in the temple before the feet of the Sanhedrin, and then he shall say, I have betrayed innocent blood. But still he go away, took his own life. But there is one, there is help lived up by one that is mighty. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is that gospel that we preach today to you. That gospel that in Christ is reconciliation with God for a sinner that is bound in the claws of the devil. And they come to the realization in their life that they say, Lord, is there hope for me? Is there hope for me, for a sinner? Is there hope for a hypocrite? It is something, people, that we have to become a hypocrite before the Lord. Not a Christian, no. No, thousands and thousands of people, their mouth is full of it. I am a Christian. I am a believer. I am converted. I am this and I am that. And I am better than everybody. I am better than that man that be there in the back of the temple. But to become an hypocrite. And if you become a sinner, then first you become a hypocrite before the Lord. A hypocrite. And the text said they laid their hands on him and took him. And now Christ freely, voluntarily, with so much patience, forbearance, he undergo everything. He say nothing to that people, no. He gave himself over in their hands, to suffer and to die. They could do everything to him what they want. Because I have done toward the Lord what I want. And people, young and old, great and small, consider that the Lord paid out in our life, that He paid out, that He is righteous, that He come back to our life. But at the other end, and that is now the gospel, though that in truth and uprightness confess those that are privileged to bow before, to lay in the dust, I have sinned. I have sinned against thee. And I have done what is evil in thy holy sight. Oh, now the Lord Jesus Christ, He suffered and He died for that people to deliver them out of the bands of Satan and of sin, and to place them in the freedom of the gospel, to give them liberty in the Lord, to give him that great privileged congregation. We hope to say this evening, maybe if we can, more nog about it. But no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. That is the privilege for God's people, but all in and through Christ. And when we are delivered out of the hands and the claws of the devil, He can vex us, and He shall do it, yes. He shall do it as long as you are living, people. He shall do it as long as you are living here in the world. He shall never give you rest, no. But to come back under His dominion, that is for God's dear children impossible. That's impossible. And sin shall no more reign over you, because you are no longer under the law, but now under the gospel. Yeah. And then of something else that Christ had merited there when they laid hold upon him, and that they bound him, and that is what Paul wrote about himself to his spiritual son Timothy, because Christ through his suffering he privileged his dear people to fight the good fight of faith. He qualified them thereto. All the poor people, they say many times, Lord, I'm so poor. I have no weapons. I have no weapons, but now. Paul, when he died, was dying, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness to fight in the strength of Christ Jesus, the Most High God. Dus they lay hands upon him, and they took him. And now, once at the end of life, people, the Lord shall take his dear children up in glory. Christ have to go to Gabbatha. And Christ have to go to Golgotha. But God's people that is taken up not to go to Gethsemane more. And not to Gabbatha and Golgotha. But to take up in that city whose builder and founder is the Lord. And in that country where no inhabitant would say, I am sick, because the people that there is shall have forgiveness of all their iniquities. Oh, that the Lord may use and sanctify the few more words in this morning. And finally, congregation, I have few words at the end of my sermon. Again, such a heavy blow came to us. We were, alas, we have hoped, but we have no opportunity. Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday evening, Wednesday morning, to say no some words to kneel the Meester. No. We have hoped. We have married him 25 years ago. We have buried his parents. He was now the tenth of that family that we have buried in 28 years in the family of Westreet and the Meesters, the tenth. Thus we were many times with him in sorrowing days, many times. I hope that the Lord remember the widow with the dear children. My wish, the wish of my heart, that is that the Lord sanctify to your heart. And that remind me what I say now. Years ago in 1936, we were still in Rotterdam then at that time. And on a Friday evening, the widow of Reverend Van Dyke, who died here in Kalamazoo, she came back for a few months to her house there in the Netherlands, but she left again for America. And then I bid farewell to her by the boat, 12 o'clock on a Friday night. And she was standing there, an old widow, an old widow, there alone by that boat. I say to her, it is something to go now back without your husband. They did so many times that trip, of course. But then that word of that widow, she said to me, to go without my husband is not so bad. But she said, I go back to America without God. She said, that is worse. Without God, yeah. And I have thought so many times over those words, people. Without God. Because when we marry, there is coming a day that we have to be separated. Let us not place it so far, no. But a day that is coming for all of us. But if the Lord is our portion and Christ is our portion, that mediator and that savior, even that we live and that we die, we are the Lord's. And that is not so bad. Oh, the Lord remember the bereaved family, but the Lord remember our congregation. that it be applied to our hearts, people, that it be sanctified to our souls. Other parents have the privilege at the end of this week, 40 years married. What is what made the difference? 'Tis only the Lord. Too bad that I cannot be with that occasion, because in the East, since Thanksgiving, they have no more minister to serve. And we are called for the Lord's Supper and for other work there in the congregation this coming week. But oh, that the Lord remember each and every one in his condescending mercy and love in Christ Jesus, that he prepare us to meet him, that we know him here at this side of the grave, that we are embraced by him, and that we embrace him by faith. Amen. Lord, bless thy word and testimony. Bring us back in this evening and in this afternoon under the reading and preaching. Oh, Lord, that we not despise the truth, but that we love it with all the love of our heart. Look upon us in mercy. Also that family that had lost a brother, we commend them also at thy throne. There is so many needs and so many wants. But Lord, remember, leave us never over to ourselves, but give us grace in thy holy eyes. Prepare us to meet thee in righteousness and peace, and bless also the teaching and instructing for our children in this Sabbath day, for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now number 113. 113. How blessed a man who thoughtfully the poor and weak befriends. And what there follows in 113. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.